Now, this took place up there in Galilee and in Capernaum, because in verse 59 it says this, "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." Now notice the reaction to that. And believe me, there was a reaction here. We have the reaction of several groups here. "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" In other words, there was quite a difference of opinion here at the very beginning. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Now, you're not going to eat me literally. I'm going back to heaven. But notice what he says. "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." So that, friends, obviously, he's not talking about his literal body. It's when you and I, by faith, appropriate. I've always made it a habit at the Lord's Supper, especially when I taste the drink. It's generally grape juice, and it's sweet. And I always taste it because it's sweet. And he bore the bitter cup for me on the cross that I might have this sweet cup. And that sweet cup is to remind me that he shed his blood for me. And there's a spiritual blessing there. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And in my entire ministry, I've always, during the Lord's Supper, read from the Word of God. And that has been a practice. And I find out that the Word of God ministers to the hearts of people. Why? Because the words of the Lord Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. Now, verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you, that no man come unto me, except it were given unto him of the Father.'" But you remember now, you have to put with that, "Whosoever will may come." It's up to you, you see. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Now you can see that in the group there that day, there were the hostile leaders that were there, the religious leaders. There were his disciples, and there were the 12, and in the 12 was Judas. So you actually have four opinions concerning him at this time. Now, many of these disciples, not the 12, but many of the disciples turned and went back. Now, will you notice, verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will ye also go away?' Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.'" And this is a marvelous statement on the part of Simon Peter. He's speaking to the others. And that, my friend, is a very good question today. And it may be that I'm speaking, and I know that we do many times, to those that are not believers. Now, you say that the Lord Jesus is not to you a Savior and that he doesn't meet your needs at all. I have a question. Where are you going? I saw a bunch of young people on the island of Maui out in the Hawaiian Islands with a picture of Krishna up in front of them, and they were going over a monotonous song. Poor little folk there. They weren't finding any satisfaction in that. What disillusionment is coming to so many today? And there are those that are turning in every direction for life they're trying to find. I have a question to ask you. It's the question of Simon Peter. To whom shall you go? The Lord Jesus is the one, the only one, that has the words of eternal life. And now listen to him in verse 69. and we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Here again is the testimony of this man, Simon Peter. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a demon." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, this is something that is quite remarkable here and something that you need to note. I'm of the opinion that this man, Judas Iscariot, is a great mystery. Here our Lord numbers him with the 12, and yet he says he had chosen him, and yet he was a demon. Demon-possessed, the man that is to deny. But I think all the way through, our Lord gave him every opportunity to make a decision for him. It's difficult to interpret evil like this, friends. It's one of the mysteries. Evil is always a mystery. That's one of the things that makes it attractive. Suppose right now I would say to you that I have a stick, two sticks. One stick is perfectly straight. It's a ruler. Can you imagine how that ruler looks? I'm sure that every one of you right now is thinking the same thing. Why? Because it can be straight only one way. Then suppose I say I'm also holding in my hand a crooked stick. And I'm of the opinion that if each one of you draw a picture of how you think that stick is crooked, that literally the thousands of you today listening would draw it differently, because it can be crooked a million different ways. You see, evil has a mystery to it. And I must confess, this man Judas Iscariot walks across the page of Scripture. It's difficult to interpret him. And our Lord says this strange thing about him.